Let us now move on to retiring partners. A retiring partner is a partner who is leaving the partnership. The partnership will continue as normal, but the individual partner who is retiring will be subject to CYB closing year rules. If a loss arises in the year of retirement, terminal loss relief is available under Section 89. That is in addition to normal loss relief under Section 64. Referring back to the session on losses, a Section 89 claim can be made where the loss in the final 12 months of trading is carried back 3 years against trading income on a last-in, first-out basis, i.e. against later years first.
This is best shown by way of an illustration. Mark, Tara and Roger are in partnership sharing profits and losses equally. In the year to the 30th of September 2010, the partnership made a loss of £60,000. Roger retired from the partnership on the 30th of September 2010. The partnership was previously profitable, making tax-adjusted profits of £90,000, £30,000 and £12,000 for 2007, 2008 and 2009 respectively. The partners have no other income and Roger has overlap profits brought forward of £6,000. Again, we go back to basics. We adjust the accounting profits. In this illustration, that has already been done. We then move on to the allocation of the profits or losses. Once allocated, we treat the partners as individual sole traders. In this case, as Roger has retired from the partnership, this will be treated as a cessation of his trade under the current year basis rules. The allocation is equal, so there is a £20,000 loss for the year ended 30th of September 2010, a £4,000 profit to the 30th of September 2009, a £10,000 profit for the year to September 2008, and a £30,000 profit for the year to the 30th of September 2007. These figures are simply one third of the total partnership profit or loss. Roger retired from the partnership on the 30th of September 2010, so that is his cessation date, which is in the tax year 2010-11. Overlap relief is also available on cessation. Therefore, £6,000 worth of overlap profits are added to the final loss. So a £20,000 loss now becomes a £26,000 loss with the addition of overlap, which relates to the tax year 2010-11. We then come to Roger as an individual. His trading income for 2007-08, 2008-09 and 2009-10 is as per the screen. In 2010-11, there are no profits. There is a loss. Therefore, the trading income figure for that tax year is nil. As there is a loss, we have a loss memo, which is £26,000 for the year 2010-11. Roger has the option of claiming Section 64 relief in 2009-10. That is the year preceding the year of loss. There is, however, no point in claiming Section 64 in 2009-10. The trading income profits allocated to Roger were only £4,000 for that particular year. Therefore, his profits would have already been covered by his personal allowances. So Section 64 is not a valid claim for Roger. Consequently, we should look at Section 89, the terminal loss claim. As Roger's final accounting period is exactly 12 months long, his terminal loss will be the same as the amount of loss allocated to 2010-11, which in this case is £26,000. Section 89 losses are carried back 3 years on a last-in, first-out basis against trading income. So, in the loss memo, we see £4,000 being relieved in 2009-10, and this would appear in the computation for 2009-10. Note here that personal allowances are once again lost in 2009-10, but that is the price that Roger must pay for allowing this loss to carry back to earlier years. He cannot simply opt out of 2009-10 relief. The loss must be relieved in 2009-10, and after that it will carry back to earlier years. We next carry back £10,000 to 2008-09, and finally we take relief of £12,000 in 2007-08. It should be noted that once a Section 89 claim is made, it is like a runaway train. We cannot stop it. It will go against the trading income in 2009-10, and then 2008-09, and then 2007-08. It cannot be restricted to just one or two of these years. You can see from this that Roger has wasted personal allowances in 2009-10 and 2008-09, but there was no other use for this loss. He had to waste personal allowances in those years in order that he could receive some relief in 2008-09 and in 2007-08.
The next aspect of losses I would like to look at is notional losses. In some cases, profit allocations may create a loss for a particular partner in a year when the partnership as a whole made a profit. This could be where the partners have agreed high salaries, and in any particular year, the profits may be quite low. So where the salaries exceed the profits, you will be creating losses within the partnership. These losses are known as notional losses. The partnership as a whole has made a profit, but an individual partner may be showing a loss, but is a notional loss. The revenue do not allow these notional losses, and consequently these notional losses must be reallocated to the other partners, those partners with high salaries that are showing a profit in the allocation process. The reallocation is based on the ratio of profit allocated to the other partners in the year. Again, this is best shown by an illustration. Here we have Stan, Arthur and Jake, who are in partnership sharing profits 30, 37, 33, after charging salaries to Stan and Arthur of £15,000 and £12,000 respectively.
In the year to the 30th of September 2010, the partnership made a profit of £20,000. So here, we can see the profit for the partnership as a whole is actually lower than the salaries to be allocated to Stan and Arthur. Whenever this occurs, there will be a notional loss, in this case for Jake.
The objective in this exercise is to calculate the allocation of the £20,000 profit between the partners. Stick to our basics. The profit for the year was £20,000. There were salaries of £15,000 to Stan and £12,000 to Arthur, which gave total salaries of £27,000. This leaves us with a residual loss of £7,000 that needs to be shared between the partners in the ratio 30, 37, 33, which means that Stan is allocated £2,100 of the loss, Arthur £2,590, and Jake £2,310 of the loss. Stan is therefore showing a profit of £12,900. Arthur is showing a profit of £9,410. Now those two allocations added together exceed the profit for the year, and we can see why if we look at Jake. Jake has made a loss of £2,310 in the year, but this is a notional loss. The partnership as a whole has made a profit. The revenue will not allow any loss claimed by Jake. It is notional. It must therefore be reallocated to Stan and Arthur. It is reallocated in the proportion of their profit share to date in this particular year. So for Stan, that will be £12,900 over the £12,900 plus the £9,410, and this fraction would simply be multiplied by the notional loss. So of the notional loss, £1,336 is allocated to Stan. Same principle for Arthur. We have £9,410 divided by £12,900 plus £9,410. That resulting fraction is multiplied by the notional loss, which leaves £974 to be allocated to Arthur. Stan is now showing a profit for the year of £11,564, while Arthur is showing £8,436. Jake is obviously showing nil. Stan and Arthur's profit share now adds up to £20,000, which is the partnership profit for the year. I would now like you to have a go at a few examples. The partner joining a partnership has the following options regarding losses incurred in the year of joining the partnership. I would like you to click on the loss reliefs available for a partner joining a partnership. The correct answer for Part A is Section 64. A new partner can use Section 64. He also has the option of carrying back under Section 72, carrying forward under Section 83, and offsetting capital gains under Section 71. The terminal loss relief under Section 89 is not available. Now we have a partner leaving a partnership. What loss reliefs would he/she be entitled to a claim? I would like you to click on the reliefs which you feel appropriate for a retiring partner. A retiring partner will be entitled to relief under Section 64, Section 89, and Section 71. Section 72 is not available because that concerns opening year rules. Section 83 is not available because the partner will have no future profits from the partnership. The next example involves Paul, Alan, and Gary, who are in partnership sharing profits 50-30-20, after charging salaries to Paul and Alan of £20,000 and £10,000 respectively.
In the year to the 28th of February 2011, the partnership made a profit of £24,000. I would like you to calculate the profit allocation for the year to the 28th of February 2011. When you are satisfied with your answers, please press the Submit button.
The answer to example 2 is found by just sticking to our basics on allocation. The profit of £24,000 is subject to a salary allocation. Paul has a salary of £20,000 and Alan a salary of £10,000, and that is £30,000 of salary allocation in the year. This leaves us with a residual loss of £6,000.
This is split in the ratio 50-30-20,
which is £3,000 lost to Paul, £1,800 lost to Alan, and £1,200 lost to Gary.
This leaves us with a notional loss for Gary, which we know cannot remain, so the notional loss must be allocated to Paul and Alan in a ratio of their profits to date for this particular year.
In Paul's case, this will amount to £810. That is simply £17,000 divided by £17,000 plus £8,200 times the notional loss of £1,200. This gives us £810. Alan will have £390 of the notional loss allocated, which is £8,200. That is his profit share to date divided by £17,000 plus £8,200 times the notional loss. So the allocations for the year would have been £16,190 to Paul, £7,810 to Alan, and nil to poor old Gary. That concludes this session on losses within partnerships.